Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Our search for a general manager and a head coach begins today. It will be thorough, diligent, and exhaustive. It will result in the best possible selections to lead the Bears to success.
I've never been in this position before, and I know this. Whatever is supposed to happen will happen. You guys, everybody has a job that they need to do to create stories and to have things to write about. True reports, there's false reports. You need to be able to create a wall, you know, that, and that's a part of where we're at right now.
Yeah!
Now, here's Kevin Powell.
Well, and there it is. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace out. They were fired. I don't think anybody was surprised that Matt Nagy was let go. There was a little doubt that maybe Ryan Pace would stick around, but that wouldn't have made any sense. It was time to move on at Hallis Hall and start a new chapter. This is episode 28 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. It was an eventful press conference, one that left a lot of Bears fans furious and less optimistic. But let's see how this coaching hiring process plays out. Let's see who they bring in as the general manager. We're going to see a bunch of names mentioned over the next 24, 48 hours. But, you know, again, I think a lot of this, you have to keep Justin Fields in mind when making a hire. You have to. I know you got to straighten things out and it's about winning games, but when you have somebody like Justin Fields, you've got to find somebody that can work well with Fields. McCaskey said that Fields won't be a part of the process. I didn't expect them to include Justin Fields in the hiring process. He's a rookie, after all. But you certainly have to keep him in mind. And we'll see which route the Bears decide to go. But it was another classic Bears postseason press conference where I think it left everybody with a bitter taste in their mouth. But I don't know. Bears Twitter, it's overreactions. It's what people do. So we'll see how this process plays out. WGN TV's Josh Friedman joined me to talk about it. Now joining me on the podcast is Josh Friedman from WGN TV. And Josh, let's just get right into it. The Bears holding the press conference today after the news Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are out. I guess I'll say this. I don't think George McCaskey and Ted Phillips built any more optimism with the fan base after that press conference. I think they typically just leave fans more frustrated and confused. I guess what were your takeaways from the press conference?
Yeah, that's an understatement, Kevin. You know, I tweeted after the press conference that the last hour was basically George McCaskey saying that his mom still wants him to run the team, that he trusts Ted Phillips implicitly. He's read Bill Polian's book. He thinks Olin Kreutz is a liar. And he's never heard of Patch.com. So that is your Chicago Bears in a nutshell. And yeah, it's basically it's the same stuff we've heard pretty much every 4 or 5 years now when they go through this cycle of canning a head coach and now a general manager as well. Bill Polian is the new Ernie Accorsi, it feels like. And yeah, as a Bears fan, you're just hoping, okay, have they learned from their past mistakes? And the one thing that maybe they've changed now is the general manager who they will select is going to report directly to George, not Ted. And that's, I mean, fine. Like if that's the bone they're throwing Bears fans, it's pretty bad. And that's their structural reorganization. But Ted Phillips is still going to be involved in the head coach and general manager search. A couple other people within their organization as well. And then Bill Polian, as I mentioned, you know, 79 years old, got the track record as a Hall of Famer, obviously built up those great Bills teams in the early 90s, and the Peyton Manning-led Colts teams by hiring Tony Dungy. But he's been out of the game for 10 years. And again, it strikes me that George McCaskey still doesn't really know exactly what he is doing in terms of running a football team. While he just won't hand it over to a full-time president or football czar, as he even said today, who knows? But as long as his mom, Virginia, feels like he can still do the job, Kevin, he's going to do the job, I guess.
I mean, I thought that was some great questioning towards George McCaskey. I think it was Mark Potash from the Sun-Times asking, like, look, you know, we can continue this cycle of going through general managers and head coaches and have these press conferences every 4 or 5 years after they're fired. But as Mark pointed out to George, like, what about George? Like, what about your resume in your current position? They've had, what, two winning seasons since George McCaskey's been put in this current situation? And that led to, you know, the questioning of, well, the board of directors review my performance, and I have the backing of ownership, which was his way of saying that, yeah, Virginia McCaskey and his fellow family members are supporting him and give him a pat on the back to keep going about his business. But yeah, and then among like many things that made you kind of stop and be like, wait, what did he say? Was like when the line was, I'm a fan, I'm not a football evaluator. Like, wait, so that was your own admission that you shouldn't be in this position. Like, bringing out.
And he said that over the years too, Kevin. That wasn't the first time it's come out of his mouth either, where he readily admits he's just a fan. And then he also goes on to list the things that he's looking for in a head football coach. I mean, we're talking about one of 32 jobs in the National Football League, and it's the charter franchise. We're not talking about peewee football for eighth graders here picking a coach, right? I mean, this is sometimes it feels like George McCaskey is running the team like the stakes are that low. And Bears fans now going on, what, year 37 post-Super Bowl? So it has been a frustrating decade-long search for a team that can at least push the 85 team a little bit to the side, because they continue to be the only thing that Bears fans have to cling on. And I'm really curious to see what they decide to do with this route, because, I think Bears fans initially were excited about Matt Nagy 4 years ago. And look, even George said this today, it was in 2018, you know, a great ride where they thought it was going to be just an upward trajectory, and it turns out that they only regressed from there on out. They did not win a playoff game. I didn't win a playoff game that year either. And, really failed to close the gap within the division. And that's to me the biggest point as well. The Packers, yes, they've had Hall of Fame quarterback after Hall of Fame quarterback here with Brett Favre followed by Aaron Rodgers, but you are nowhere close to where you need to be to even be the best in your division. You're closer to the Lions than you are to the Packers. And that's obviously something that Bears fans have had to live with for years now. And that's frustrating, I know, to the McCaskeys as well. But I feel like they still aren't making the changes necessary to pick the best people in charge. I get it that you're gonna pick a head coach and a general manager that you believe in, that you think can take the next step, and we're not going to know until the guys take the field and responsibilities on the players for sure. But the process is what seems flawed here, and that, to me, didn't change today.
That's a good way of putting it. The process is flawed here. I mean, look, I'm not against them bringing in Bill Polian or other outside voices. I know Soup Campbell, if you don't know, it's, for one, it's a great name, Soup Campbell. Two, he's, director of player engagement. Basically, he just helps players with whatever they need help with. So I think he has a good check on the vibe of the locker room and the players, and he understands what they may want or need. But, you know, the fact that they do have to bring in an advisor, and obviously this has happened around the league before, and you have respected voices around the NFL, but, like, if they didn't bring in Bill Polian, it is kind of a terrifying thought, right, of George McCaskey, who says he's just a fan, kind of going about this whole process on his own, along with Ted Phillips. So I am fine with Bill Polian being brought in. I actually feel better with Bill Polian being brought in with this whole process, but it's like your job is kind of run the football operations, but you need to bring somebody else in to do the hiring. I will say this about the Bears' job. I actually think it's a pretty attractive landing spot because of Justin Fields. And
I agree.
Who wouldn't want to work with Justin Fields? So I think they'll have a real opportunity to land a pretty big name or a sought after coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, these jobs, as we repeatedly say, you know, they are, no matter if you're being hired for the Bears or the Jaguars, to be honest, I mean, they are still sought after. Obviously, within that hierarchy, there are levels of jobs you'd rather have, but some coaches don't always have the pick of the litter there. Matt Nagy was not going to turn down the Bears because Mitch Trubisky was here, because that was his first opportunity to be a head coach. I think if they, and to me, I think I would go after a coach that has experience, and I'm not saying a John Fox type, a guy who's on his way out and in his 60s and a placeholder. I'm saying Brian Flores just came available today. I think he did a tremendous job with the limited resources he had to grow Miami into a team that at least was competitive the last couple of years in the AFC. I know he didn't make the playoffs, but they won a 7-game win streak this year after a 7-game losing streak, where he could have easily lost the locker room there with a quarterback that I don't think is very good, to be honest, and Tua Tagovailoa. So Flores, I would look at pretty strongly. There's some swirling names like Leslie Frazier, obviously a former Bears player with the 85 squad who has head coaching experience. Maybe he gets a second bite at the apple here.
How about Josh McDaniels? He had a taste of head coaching.
Sure. You know, you hear that name all the time, right, when it comes to coaching carousels. You know, that experiment in Denver did not work very well, so you've got to be really convinced that he can do something differently as the head guy in charge. Obviously, his offenses have always been pretty good, and to do what he did with a rookie quarterback this year to lead the Patriots back to the Super Bowl, back to the playoffs, along with Bill Belichick. I think McDaniels' name is going to be up there. I'm going to ask you, Kevin, would you give Jim Harbaugh a chance if he is truly interested to jump back in the NFL? Does that name intrigue you?
I think so, because he has the resume. He had success in the NFL. He took a team to the Super Bowl, was close to winning a Super Bowl. And he had, at this point in college football, it's Georgia and Alabama and Clemson and kind of everybody else, right? I think Michigan had one of its best years ever under Jim Harbaugh. So he never got to a national title at Michigan, but I think he has that program in a really, really good spot. So he's a rare case of a head coach who's had success at both levels. You don't see that very often, right? Nick Saban didn't have success in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh has, and I think Bears fans will like him because he's a character, right? He's obviously been here before. He played here. At first, I kind of was like, Jim Harbaugh, I don't know about that. But when you think about it, it's like the dude's had success everywhere he's been.
Yeah, and for all the flack he got about not being a winning coach in Michigan, you know, yes, compared to Ohio State until this year, he didn't slay the dragon. But he still had Michigan pretty competitive the last few years. He rebuilt that program. And, yeah, if he wants to truly go back to the NFL, I think that Bears job for him would be pretty sought after. And, yeah, I can see that coming full circle, obviously drafting him as a first-round quarterback some 30-plus years ago. Ryan Day, if he wants to jump to the NFL, obviously Coach Justin Fields at Ohio State, I think we're going to hear that name as well. I was disappointed the Bears didn't decide this 2 weeks ago. And you can say, you know, how much can you really get from starting this search 2 weeks early if you are not going to fire your GM in the middle of the season either, but you could have still at least, especially because George McCaskey and Ted Phillips are still going to be involved, and heck, Bill Polian could have also been involved a couple weeks ago at the start of this process, reach out to candidates. Maybe they did, but I feel like this was a fait accompli with Matt Nagy for weeks now that he was going to be fired at the end of the season. Why not at least take advantage of the new rule in the NFL and start talking to coaches a couple weeks ago? Obviously, it doesn't matter now, but again, I think just another part of the Bears organization that's kind of backwards thinking in a lot of respects that they try to go about leading this team and this franchise forward.
Yeah, you know, Nagy was a first-time head coach situation for Matt Nagy, so you would just kind of get the sense that maybe they'd want somebody who has established head coaching experience. You know, it's like, all right, we gave a guy an opportunity, let's go to established coach. I don't know, I could be wrong, but we'll see how all of this plays out. Hey, what did you make of the whole Olin Krutz thing? He was on The Score. He said they offered him like $15 an hour, kind of as a consulting offensive line coach. And then today, George, it was so bizarre. I mean, the Bears do themselves no favors with these press conferences. But George McCaskey was asked about it and basically was like, it's not the whole story. I don't even know if you want to jump into this conversation, Josh, but like, it's been so weird over the past few days with this whole Olin Krutz $15 story that he told on The Score.
And again, just the brief background of that is he said that Harry Hiestand, who was only here for, I think, a year, maybe 2 years as the offensive line coach for the Bears, basically came to Olin and said, we can give you a position on staff as basically like an independent contractor, consultant type, but it pays $15 an hour. And the guys on The Score, Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel, were flabbergasted. Their jaws literally dropped on the video cam that they have of the stream, and they had to ask, are you serious? And Nolan's like, 100%. So either you're taking Olin Krutz's word that this happened, or George McCaskey, who didn't quite 100% deny it, but basically said that Olin sometimes inflates the truth. So he basically calling him a liar. And Olin tweeted out today right after that, he said, unreal, can't say I'm shocked in my response. Haven't talked to George since I left Hallis, but he knows me well. Crazy response to him. And he also said he talked to Harry Hiestand to confirm it again, and he confirmed it. So another thing that I took from that response, too, Kevin, is that Olin says he hasn't talked to George since he left Hallis. I mean, again, you're not doing the proper due diligence of reaching out to your alumni base and getting some former players who still want to be involved in football and it could be an advisor or could be someone within the organization that you can lean on who the fans respect and who one day could be a Hall of Fame player, Nolan Kurtz. So to me, that just tells you a lot about the way the organization has not done its proper job of, I think, engaging the alumni base. Aside for the 100-year anniversary we had a couple years ago when we were coming off 2018 and you know, Trubisky was putting on Jim McMahon's glasses and everything was hunky-dory. It has been tough to really see where the Bears organization has done its best to try to get those franchise icons and best in the franchise history at what they have done over the past several years involved in the future of the Bears.
They just can't screw up Justin Fields. They can't. I mean, this is such a huge hire here because you have to find somebody that can work well with Justin Fields and completely unlock all the talent that we all think he has. It's a major hire. Before I let you go, Josh, just your hunch, your gut feeling, who do you think they end up hiring here? I know there are a lot of names out there.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a candidate right now, I would say Leslie Frazier, to be honest. I think he fits a bunch of boxes. You know, former players, as much as I've said they've not engaged with former players like they should have, maybe they're trying to do that now. A guy who had a head coaching opportunity, really didn't get a fair shake in Minnesota, who has been part of a good franchise the last several years with Buffalo, who's on the defensive side. And again, if you're going to go back to what the bread and butter of the Bears has been forever, it's defense. Maybe you feel like you get a defensive-minded head coach who can hire a bright mind as your offensive coordinator to oversee Justin Fields in that offense. I can see that being a direction that they go. And, you know, general manager names, you know, Rick Smith, a guy you hear who used to be the GM of the Houston Texans. That's a name I would watch as well. But I feel like that's something where you know, no one ever heard of Ryan Pace, right, outside of New Orleans before the Bears hired him. So you get a lot of guys that are more player personnel or scouting director types. So that could really be a wild card in terms of general manager. But I would say head coach Leslie Frazier is probably the front runner to me right now. But I would say I think Brian Flores would make a great hire to me, and that would be the guy I would talk to right away.
I really like the Byron Leftwich idea. Leftwich or Harbaugh, I think, would be my top two right now. But
Leftwich to Jacksonville feels like it's going to happen to me. Yeah. You know, obviously, yeah. But I agree. I think Leftwich would be a good choice as well.
All right, he's Josh Friedman from WGN TV. We will have lots to get to this offseason, Josh. How quickly do you think this hire happens? By the way, last question, I promise.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now how long it took for the Nagy hire. I think it was within a week. It was right after the Chiefs lost. I know, so that would have been the wild card game. So I guess it was within a week of the season ending for the Bears. So my hope is by this time next week, we're talking about the Bears' new head coach and general manager. And one thing McCaskey said today too, he said they would not be opposed if they found the right guy to hire the head coach first. Now, usually you see it obviously with the GM, especially if he's going to be the guy running the football operations in place before you hire the head coach. But I can see if they say, hey, we got to go get Harbaugh, we got to go get Flores, whoever it is, that they hire the head coach first and maybe have that head coach have an impact and some input on the GM. So I can see that happening, but hopefully within a week.
Josh, thanks a bunch, man. I will be in touch this offseason as we will have a much more Bears conversation coming very soon. But thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right, thank you to Ernie Skatton and Brian Altimer for their help producing the podcast. Thanks to Josh Friedman for joining me. Thank you for listening. We'll be on standby for another podcast once the Bears make these hires. I'll crank out another pod. Thanks again for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.